Well, your patience for an entertaining show has finally paid off. This is episode Dead FM, just in time for Halloween. We got the Ancient Forbidden Relic Roadshow and a special message from Dante's Erotic Pest Control. And of course, here's the news. This month's top story is, of course, The Gamer's Natural 20. The Kickstarter for our next installment in The Gamer's series kicks off on Tuesday, October 20th. It's the sequel to The Gamer's Natural 1. That's that cyberpunk Gamers that Zoe and Lynn Vander did in Canada a couple of years back. Well, it's one of several awards. It was really a lot of fun. And now it's DG's turn to partner with Thomas Gofton and his company Lynn Vander Studios in Ontario, Canada. Andy Dobrowski is writing and directing. Our own Scott C. Brown is a producer, as well, of course, as reprising his role as Leo. Christian Doyle is back as Gary, as they meet up with Gary's sister Monica and her husband Ryan to help save Ryan's company from a hostile takeover. And of course, you can bet that's going to involve a lot of Cyber Run. That's the game that they're playing. Now, speaking of Cyber Run, since Lynn Vander is also well known for making board games like Albion's Legacy, Sherwood's Legacy, and Deep 5, which is a shortened version, looks really fun. Shortened name, Deep 5. Anyway, they are going to do a Cyber Run board game, which will feature characters from this awesome movie. And so the Kickstarter initial goal is going to be about $120,000. And that's going to pay for the production of the film as well as the game. So that's actually a pretty low ask when we're creating pretty much a fully paid production. We're getting a lot of breaks with what Lynn Vander is bringing to the table. So that's really cool. So in other words, to help get this word out about our new Gamers movie, we've started a Nouncy campaign. The link is on the episode page here, where you can essentially just schedule your own social media post. Once the Kickstarter is live and it's launched, we will go ahead and release all of those posts at once, which will really help boost that signal. You know, $120,000 is a lot of money, but I think we can do it, and I think it's because we have an awesome Gamers movie and a game and several other great rewards that I think are really going to help get people excited about being part of making a new Gamers film. And again, like I say, more you can check out the links on the episode page. I know you guys are asking about Gamers the series, and I'm going to get to that, okay? So, that's a few points down here. All right. So, but still on Gamers, so the Gamers Darkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarter is being fulfilled. In fact, I am standing in my living room surrounded by packages and Blu-rays and patches and other rewards, and we are enveloping them and packaging them and labeling them. And so, and by the way, my daughter has really gotten into doing helping me with these. She's 3, and so I apologize if some of your packages look a little crinkled or whatnot, but just if you happen to get one of those, just know that you got one of the really excited ones. This is going to take me a few days to get all of these things packaged up. So, but what's cool is I can, once they're all kind of done, or at least a good batch of them, I can call for a pickup, and they'll all essentially kind of ship, at once, or at least close to that as I can. got a lot of questions about what's the order that we're going to do it. Is it alphabetized? Is it whatever? No, it's essentially whatever order BackerKit puts in front of me as far as the listing goes. But they're grouped by like packages. And so the packages with a DVD or a Blu-ray and a patch, well, there's close to 1,000 of those. So guess which one I'm working on first. The rest of you who ordered more things will definitely ship later. I'm just going to get all these single Blu-rays out first. But the rest of you, it's not going to be far behind. So don't worry. Let's see here. By the way, all of them will also have tracking numbers, and you should get email confirmations once they ship. Some of them are, if you're in the U.S., some of them will go media mail. And so even once they ship, it'll still take up to 7 days or so. So just be aware of that. Most of the 700, there's about 760 packages that first class was actually cheaper than media mail. I don't have any idea why. It just happens to be maybe the discount that through the service that we got. But anyway, everything has tracking numbers. That'll be great. So that's the Kickstarter. The Demon Hunters, a comedy of terrors RPG, is pretty much text complete at this point. I gotta tell you that it feels so amazing to be this close. Now, Jimmy was not satisfied with the number of NPCs from the various villains and organizations and the monsters and creatures, so he turned in something totaling like 175 pages, and I'm not exaggerating one bit. Many of these are backer characters, but most of them are not. The Brotherhood database chapter is what we're calling this, and it will be robust and informative. And I think I was thinking about whether or not we should include all of this stuff in there, but I think it will be great. And I think it's going to be really good setting filler for you to, you know, if you're going to run the game or whatnot, to really get a sense of the world, who's out there, and get some great story seed ideas. I think you're going to really enjoy it. We had a lot of fun writing it. And Cam Banks said he laughed out loud many times reading them. So where was I? Oh yes. By the way, now with the book itself, there is going to be many Easter eggs, so watch out for those. It wouldn't be DG without Easter eggs. Some of them may be a bit obscure, so we're just gonna make it a skill challenge for all levels. There will be fun stuff for everybody. The whole book will head out to layout in probably a few days from now, hopefully. And that means the finished book is nigh. After layout will come proofing and fixing. And then it's off to the printers. And while it's at the printers, we're going to get a PDF and a print-on-demand version uploaded to DriveThruRPG. As well as possibly create a space on Amazon. And you guys can get those first. We'll send the PDF for sure well ahead of time. And then there will be a code or a link that you can get the print-on-demand version I think it's pretty much at our cost on that. So for those of you who included that in your backing, that will be available. For those who didn't, the print-on-demand version will be available for purchase, and you can purchase it, and you will probably get it before the actual final book comes in, the deluxe book. Anyway, I recommend having both anyway, because they're going to be great. Moving on, Journey Quest Season 3 is on schedule to kickstart in January. I believe it's still January 18th, 2016 is the date. I'm not looking at a calendar, but I think that's what we thought about. And that's about all I got about that. I don't really know much more. Now, Gamers the Series and Demon Hunters Red Tape I said I'd get to that, and I am right now. They are still in the queue. That means that they are happening. I just don't have much more to tell you yet, because we've had all these other things in front. So they're sort of next in line. We're going to be, I own Ben Dobbins a meeting here soon to talk specifically about Gamers as a Series. And then Demon Hunters Red Tape, Christian Doyle and Jimmy and I had a couple hours of brainstorming and talking about the direction of the Demon Hunters, you know, what we're going to do on screen. And this show is going to be hilarious. And I think we're going to be able to incorporate the videos that we promised from the Kickstarter for the role-playing game. I think we're going to be able to incorporate those as well into the show. So sort of double duty on that. I'm excited about that. And then going back to one thing I keep forgetting about is the gaming with you guys who have backed for the gaming with us. I'm going to get back on that and get those on the schedule. I apologize for dropping the ball. That's it, everyone. Happy Halloween. And now here's some not quite news, but they are actually true stories. Here is a new segment by Scott C. Brown entitled, You Might Be a Dipshit.
And now Dead FM presents, You Might Be a Dipshit. If you are a convicted felon and walk away from your work release program, you might be a dipshit. If you then audition for a local movie using your real name and consent to be interviewed for a newspaper, you probably are a dipshit. If said newspaper includes photos of you where you're discovered by state law enforcement because they read newspapers and have a brain that they use, then you have removed all doubt that you are a dipshit. If you are arrested, and while waiting in your holding cell, you decide to beat the shit out of yourself, you might be a dipshit. If you then try to claim police brutality as the cause of the facial trauma you have, you probably are a dipshit. If you failed to notice you were on camera the whole time and get extra jail time for filing a false report, not to mention said facial trauma, you have removed all doubt that you are a dipshit. If you're feeling amorous and decide to wear a cock ring, but fail to seek medical attention when you can't remove it, you might be a dipshit. If you wait 3 days to finally go seek that medical attention, and your junk is black and blue, and they need to call the fire department to get industrial bolt cutters to remove it, you probably are a dipshit. If you choose to go with titanium as your ring of choice, and break all the cutters the fire department has, and that results in you getting a full castration, you have removed all doubt that you are a dipshit. And gratefully, you have also removed yourself from the global gene pool.
Hello, my friends. I am Dante, from Dante's Errati Pest Control. Since man first conquered nature, he has been plagued by two things, vermin and the lustiness of a boiled cuttlefish. Dante's Errati Pest Control is here to solve both of these problems. At Dante's Erotic Pest Control, we do things a little differently. Most exterminators are dumpy, middle-aged men in thick glasses who know how to handle an infestation, but not how to kindle infatuation. They show up in coveralls and go right to the hard stuff. Dante's will handle your pest with finesse. Our exterminators show up at your door with a bouquet of fresh roses and a box of the finest European chocolates. Next, you will be pampered with a full massage as your personal pest removal specialist talks to you about your day. He or she, we do not judge, We'll draw you a bath and light some candles so that you may relax before the localized insect genocide begins. Our patented formula kills spiders, wasps, ants, ticks, fleas, and silverfish, while its unique pheromone blend enlivens your passions. Is spraying poison while wearing only a Speedo dangerous? Is anything truly sexier than danger? So let us, Dante's Erotic Pest Control, eradicate your mice, rats, and moles while we eroticate your soul. Dante's Erotic Pest Control, where annihilation meets exhilaration.
Call 1-855-LOVE-BUG. That number again is 1-855-LOVE-BUG.
Dante's is not responsible for heart palpitations, shortness of breath, heavy petting, or accidental poisonings. Use coupon code NOSEUM, NOTELLUM for 20% off your first session.
Oh, okay. I just got a segment to put in this episode from Brian Lewis. This should be great.
And now Dead FM presents Dyslexic Zombies. This has been Dyslexic Zombies. We now return you to...
Hey! Hey! What are you doing?
Whoa! Wash the hands, buddy. You mess up my... Oh, God! Somebody get me a doctor! I've been... Get off! Help, please, somebody, oh God, tell my family. Me.
Ryan.
Well, shit.
And now, 60 Seconds of Zen with Scott C. Brown. Listen, my friends, you have the power within you to make things happen. To make good things happen. Just listen to these affirmations every day, each month, and enlightenment, tranquility, and inner peace will be at your command. Breathe. Just breathe. In. Out. In through the nose. Out through the mouth. Good. And if you need me to tell you to breathe, you need more help than this fucking affirmation can give you. Seriously, your body should be doing this without me having to tell you. And that was 60 Seconds of Zen with Scott C. Brown. Brought to you by the good folks at Two Bards. Namaste.
Welcome to Ancient Forbidden Relics Roadshow. I am your host, Clifton Osgood. This week, the roadshow has stopped in Arkham, Massachusetts, a charming little college town of tweedy academics, burly fishermen, and sanitarium patients driven to gibbering madness by a momentary glimpse into the yawning abyss. What sort of terrible treasures are hiding beneath the gambrel roofs of this happy hamlet? Our professional appraiser is here to find out.
I see you've brought in some sort of painting today. But so far, you've kept it covered up. I take it I'm in for a surprise?
You could say that. My husband and I bought an old tenement building over in Boston last year. The neighborhood's on the rise, and we're looking to renovate it, maybe rent it out as condos. While we were cleaning the place out, I came across this painting hidden away up in the attic, and, you'll see for yourself. It's something else.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. May I remove the cover?
Yeah, okay, I guess, your funeral.
Well, let's see what we've... Oh, God! Cover it up! Cover it up, please!
Sorry about that.
No, not at all. Oh, as to the job. Whew, that is a truly hideous painting. Oh, from the briefest of glimpses, I can tell you that what you've got there is a painting by one Richard Upton Pickman. Oh, Pickman was famous for his grotesque depictions of barely humanoid monstrosities. Most of his works have been rightfully destroyed, but this may be his most horrific piece ever discovered. The intricate, almost loving detail he pays to the congenital deformities and the self-mutilation and the acts of cannibalism are just...
Jeez, can I get you something? A glass of water?
Oh, thank you, no. I'll power through. As for its value, at any auction house in the country, I believe you could expect to get as much as $10,000 to $15,000. And that's just the auction house itself paying you to remove this dreadful painting from the building. Maybe as high as 20 if you promise to immediately set it on fire. In fact, I'm inclined to give you everything I have in my wallet if you'll just take it away and never make me look at it again. Please, I am begging you.
Really? Deal, I guess.
Here, just take the whole damn wallet. Go. Get that horrid thing out of here. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Heard you folks was going to be in Arkham, so I come up all the way from Baton Rouge to be here. I was helping my buddy Bobby move, and we found this book up in his attic. Said his pa must have brought it back from the war. Being as my pa was staging around these parts back when I was a kid, I recognized it as the Necronomicon right off the bat.
For our listeners who may not know, the Necronomicon, written by Abdul Azhared in 730 AD, is an ancient, notoriously evil tome detailing the history of the Great Old Ones, the mysterious beings who ruled the Earth long before the Age of Man. Fun fact, it's also the most widely distributed grimoire of all time.
Wait, no, I mean, I see one at a university, but I thought there was only a couple of copies in the whole of the world.
That's what most people seem to think. I'm not sure where this thing got its reputation as a rare book. They're everywhere. You can't wander through an occult bookshop without tripping over a pile of half-price Necronomicons. I checked Amazon before we came out here and found 11 copies available for less than a dollar. With Prime shipping. Hell, I've got a copy propping up a wobbly coffee table back home. It was cheaper than trying to fix it.
I don't know about none of that, but, I mean, it's real old. You know, don't that count for something?
Honestly, 8th edition isn't that old. A 1st edition Necronomicon, penned by the Mad Arab himself. Now that's worth something. Even a 4th edition could bring in a nice chunk of change. But 8th? And the condition. Between the broken spine and ichor stains and the pallid, blind, pulsating insects that seem to pour ceaselessly from the frontispiece, I cannot in good conscience rate this copy as anything better than fair condition. Can I ask, how much did you pay for it?
Well, I gave Bobby $600 for the damn thing. Thought I could at least double that for sure.
Oh, I hate to tell you this, but an 8th edition Necronomicon in fair condition could be expected to retail in the neighborhood of $5 to $15. And honestly, for this particular copy, I'd expect something closer to the low end of that range.
Well, goddammit!
Well, I'm sorry, but hey, $600 is a small price to pay for a good story, right?
Bobby, you sumbitch, I'm gonna take that $600 right out your hide. You best prepare, I'm coming. You getting a whooping.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. I am here with Nathaniel Marsh, who has come all the way from Innsmouth to be with us today. Nathaniel, why don't you tell us a little bit about this truly fascinating piece you've brought? wonderful, just wonderful. Now, you're right in suspecting that this is an example of pre-contact Deep One coral work. The amphibian fishmen we know as Deep Ones are, of course, renowned for their coral carvings, and this is an amazing example of the art. Yes. Well, the intricate detail is indicative of Deep One carvings. If you look closely, you can actually see the look of anguish in the eyes of the pitiful surface dwellers who are being crushed to death between Dagon's powerful jaws. Of course, the value of Deep One coral work has gone up dramatically since the army torpedoed the undersea city of Yahanathle back in the 20s. Now, I've seen lesser pieces go for as much as 100,000, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this one sell for as high as 500,000. No, thank you for bringing in such an exciting piece.
My great-grandmother ran a boarding house in Paris back in the 1930s. She used to talk about this strange young man who rented the top floor of her building, who would play his violin all through the night. In time, she got used to the man's eccentricities, but then one night there was a loud noise and the music stopped entirely. When Nana went to check on him, all she found was a shimmering window into the inky blackness of space and this violin.
Fascinating. Your great-grandmother sounds like she lived quite a life. Well, from your story, it sounds like you expect this instrument to be an Eric Zan original. Zan, of course, was a musician in the early 20th century responsible for keeping a musical vigil against the horrors that exist beyond this world.
I mean, the story fits, so I was thinking...
Oh, I'm sure that you were. And an original Zan would be an incredible find. Unfortunately, I suspect your Nana was a bit loose with the truth. While surely a fine instrument, this is no Zan violin.
Oh, no.
Here, listen to this.
That is beautiful.
Right? Such lovely resonance. Unfortunately, had this been a Zan instrument, the unearthly vibrations of that note should have echoed across the very fabric of reality, fending off the terrible beings who exist in that space beyond space. Plus, as you can see, the instrument is crafted of spruce and maple instead of being carved from the bones of some hideous, unknowable creature.
So, is it worth anything at all?
Well, Zan violin, capable of keeping the interdimensional horrors that threaten our very existence at bay, would obviously be a priceless find. But as I said, this is no Zan violin. No, I'm afraid that what you have there is just a Stradivarius, worth no more than $30 million at auction. Maybe 45 on a good day. I'm so sorry. I know. I hate disappointing people like this. It really is the worst part of my job. Well now, this is an interesting statuette. Tell me a little bit about it.
Its location came to me in a dream. I was alone in an endless, undulating plain, standing naked under a moonless sky in front of a cyclopean pyramid of pure alabaster stone. The stars above parted, revealing a single unblinking eye. As I stared into the lipless orb, a voice came to me. It told me that I had been chosen, that this was the time to usher in a new era, and I was to be its herald.
I see. I really meant, like, is it a family heirloom, or did you get it at a garage sale, or...
The voice told me that the stars had come right, that the sleeper would soon awaken. I was tasked with retrieving the idol and bringing it here to you, revealing it to the world.
Well, it's interesting that you mention Cthulhu, because I believe this to be a primitive Paleolithic depiction of that very great old one. You can see here the contour of the tentacles running down the... Oh, excuse me, I don't know what that was. So, the tentacles running down the front of the statue, and the faint impression of bat wings along the back of the...
Yeah, Cthulhu Fatagan!
Yeah, Cthulhu Fatagan! Fenglui Maganaga! Cthulhu Ria! Waganagal Fatagan!
Cthulhu Fatagan! Cthulhu Fatagan!
Yeah, Cthulhu Fatagan!
That's all for Ancient Forbidden Relics Roadshow. Join us next week as the roadshow makes a stop in Castle Rock, Maine, where there's no telling what will... Cthulhu Fatagan! Finglui Magwanefa! Cthulhu Rie Waganagal Fatagan! Cthulhu Fatagan! Cthulhu Fatagan! Cthulhu Fatagan!
That was Dead FM.
This month's Dead FM is directed by me, Donner. Contributors to this episode are Scott C. Brown, Andy Dobrowski, Don Early, that's me, Brian Lewis, so sorry, Brian, we will miss you, Jimmy McMichael, Beau Pritchard, and Jennifer Riffenberry. Dead FM theme song, High Road, is written by Sean Bendixson, performed by the Bendixson Brothers, and arranged by Steve Wolbrecht. Dead FM is copyright 2015, Dead Gentlemen Productions, LLC, all rights reserved.
Don't forget to subscribe to Dead FM on iTunes, Stitcher, or however the hell else you get your podcasts. I'm a hound dog, don't you know? I'm climbing on the hard plane, guess I can't complain. I'm being up so low.